Be on your guard is the title of today's sermon given by the Reverend Dr. Stephen K. Jurdy in the worship service, coming to you from Zion Lutheran Church in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin. We invite you to join us in praising God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Through this service, the presiding pastor is the Reverend Christopher Johnson, and the assisting minister is Vicar Joseph Pinsel. The service begins with a prayer for confession and absolution. Then the congregation will sing the entrance hymn, Jesus Christ, My Sure Defense, number 340 in the Lutheran Book of Worship. The organist is Rod Reese, the lector is Landis Holdorf.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, confess that we are
conscious of sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done. By what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Holy Church, and for this... As a called and ordained minister of the Church, and by the authority of Christ, I therefore declare to you the forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Holy Church, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, by your bountiful goodness, release us from the bonds of our sins, which by reason of our weakness we have brought upon ourselves, that we may stand firm until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The old lesson for today comes from Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting content. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The word of the Lord. Psalm 16.
Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my God, my good above all other.
All my life is as one that cannot be ever in honor.
after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. You are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My honor is enclosed up as in thee. In thee I have a holy heritage.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I set the Lord always before me. Because he is at where my bread I shall not fall.
My heart therefore is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. Show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning.
The epistle lesson for today comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And as Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us confess the faith with one heart.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The children are now going to the church hall for Sunday school classes. In response to the Word of God, the congregation sings the hymn of the day, The Day is Surely Drawing Near, number 321.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Be on your guard. So says Jesus in today's gospel reading, and why does he say it? What does your Lord want his church to be on guard against? For these past 3 weeks in November, we have been preaching on the church militant. That is, the church as she fights the good fight of faith on this earth. We've been focusing on that theme for a few reasons. First, Vicar Penzel, as he prepares to be a pastor, is also preparing to be a military chaplain. And so he has developed this sermon series as part of his education. But we also focused on this theme because people are talking about fighting a lot these days, and the church fights differently from how the world fights, or at least the church is supposed to. The church fights as Jesus fought before us, not by harming, but by suffering and putting himself at the disposal of others. So back on All Saints Sunday, Pastor Johnson started the sermon series by promising you that the victory in Christ is already won. The church fights the fight by trusting Christ to have won it. Then this past Sunday, Vicar Penzel spoke to you about charity. Charity is the weapon that kills the one who uses it. That is, it pours out the church for the sake of those whom the devil would like to destroy. And now this week, I speak to you on the Lord's words, be on your guard. What does he want you to be on your guard against? Well, first, take a step back in time with me to ancient Israel when Jesus spoke these words. At that time, the early Christians faced many dangers. First, they faced the danger of hatred and oppression. Just a few years after Jesus gave this little sermon, James the Apostle would have his head chopped off, and Stephen the Deacon would be stoned to death. Christians in Jerusalem would flee to the surrounding countryside to avoid arrest or worse. Hatred and oppression were real. And don't you still hear people talk about hatred today? Second, those early Christians were surrounded by natural disaster. Flood, fire, famine, earthquake, storm. We have warning systems and emergency response systems for those things, but they did not. The earth raged around them, in their minds marred by sin. And don't you still today hear people speak of a damaged earth raging all around us? Third, those early Christians faced a culture at odds with their own values. In just a few years, they would have to explain themselves and their faith to kings and governors, and their neighbors would begin assuming the worst about them. And how often we hear Christians complain that society is changing or that culture is not Christian. So in today's gospel, our Lord mentions each of these three dangers: hatred, natural disaster, and an unbelieving culture. But did you notice that none of those things are why he says, be on your guard? Without saying that they're good, without saying that they don't matter or that we don't care about them, Jesus points us to a larger threat that he has in mind. One that Christians, whether liberal or conservative, eco-friendly or wasteful, charitable or greedy, often forget. He says, see that no one leads you astray. That is, see that no one leads you astray from him. From him, Jesus. So many people think that the church is here to give you ideas, with the promise that if you just think the right ideas, you'll be happy. Sometimes the church itself seems to operate on this assumption. But in the end, the church has no ideas for you. We have no theories. We don't even really have a story. The church has a person, and he has a history. Just as you all have personal histories that shape how you eat and dress, how you live and how you love, so does Jesus have a history, and his history shapes how we eat and how we live and how we love. And if the church loses him, it loses everything. The history of Jesus goes like this. It's very simple. It may not be what you expect, but this is the history of Jesus, to which the church is one long, continuous response. 2,000 years ago, a group of men began preaching that their rabbi, who was crucified by Jew and Roman alike, is now raised from the dead. Moreover, they kept preaching that word despite bloodshed and poverty and persecution. That isn't an idea. That's just history. And in the church, we believe that the most reasonable answer for why that history happened is that it's true. Jesus really is risen from the dead. And if that is true, then several things follow. First, if Jesus is risen, then he is the end of hatred and oppression. This man came back with the wounds of hatred and oppression still in his skin, and he came back for the purpose of preaching peace. Therefore, we will serve our neighbor best. That is, we will fight hatred and oppression best by preaching him, receiving him, and sharing his gifts, so that others too might know this end of hatred. Second, if our Lord Jesus is risen, then he is himself the new creation, the risen body that has overcome that power that holds this old creation in its grip. He has overcome in his own flesh the power of death. This is why he has the freedom to speak of earthquakes as though the beginning of birth pains. He knows that in himself a new creation is emerging. Therefore, we will serve the earth best. That is, we will lead others to see the earth's true value and love it and care for it by speaking the true word about God, how he came down and became a piece of this earth, how he was born in human flesh, how he was born in a stable built for animals, and how when he fasted he was in the wilderness with the wild animals and dwelt with them in peace. How he came to heal creation and not destroy it. And how he uses even little bits of creation like bread and wine and gathers all of creation into his worship to give himself to others. And third, if our Lord Jesus is risen, then he is the true king and governor of everything, the one who rules through mercy, reconciliation, and forgiveness. And that rule allows people both to love and to resist government, loving it for how God has given it to protect the poor and the innocent, but never loving it more than a carpenter loves his tools, for it is but a tool. We serve our neighbor best by sharing this Christ. To put it simply, Jesus is telling you to be on your guard against losing him because he is guarding you. Through this command, Jesus is actually handing himself over to you as your most important thing. He's taking all of himself and his goodness and putting him front and center in your mind and in your heart, not just for your sake, but also for your neighbor's sake. For where Jesus is preached, hearts are changed, and therefore culture is changed. But where the church just assumes Jesus, as it has for so many decades, where the church just assumes that it has Jesus, that it is Jesus, where the church just assumes all that and stops actually preaching Christ and him crucified, well, then the church has been led astray, and the culture will go with it. As another Lutheran pastor, Hans Feeney, has put it, the greatest threat facing the church in America is not liberalism or Islamic terrorism or Hollywood or yada, yada, yada. It's the utter indifference and apathy of Christians who consistently prioritize money, sports, family, and so many other things over hearing the word and belonging to their fellow Christians. The gospel will remain on earth until Jesus returns, but it might not remain in your neighborhood. Get back to God's house. Wait too long, and it might not be there. Jesus tells you to be on your guard because he is guarding you, and through you, his salt and his light, he's guarding the earth. And if Jesus is working so hard to hand himself over to you by his word, well, then it tells you something about his intention for you, does it not? It tells you that your Lord Jesus has decided to save and preserve you for that day of salvation. Why else would he work so hard to put his words in you and keep you on your guard? You are his, and his word is yours. Use it. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all creation according to its needs.
Most holy Lord, in your great mercy, bless your holy church, that through your Spirit it might be the true bride of your Son, Jesus Christ, purified by his blood, preserved in his word, and persistent in the hope that beckons the age of life eternal. Lord, in your mercy, send your Holy Spirit into the world as the true advocate for those who are persecuted for confessing your name. We remember particularly our Christian brothers and sisters in Djibouti, Mali, and Kuwait. May it be their strength and shield, a helper in times of trial, that the word of your saving grace might continue to abound, working on all hearts and in all peoples throughout your world. Lord, in your mercy, by your word of wisdom, guide all the peoples of the world, that the love and forgiveness of your Son might be the end of all hate and prejudice. Inspire in the hearts of all earthly rulers a dedication to justice and compassion, that all might live peaceably with one another. Lord, in your mercy, be that rock and strong fortress to those who stand watch over our nation. In your steadfast love, guide, strengthen, and protect them with all first responders, that their labors might be a blessing to their families and communities they serve. Lord, in your mercy, in the flesh and blood of your beloved Son, you have promised to be with us throughout all trials of sin and doubt, affliction and fear, even unto death itself. be that constant hope and abiding presence for Donna, Jessica, Jim, Bill, Les, Carol, Barbara, Rita, Ben, Barry, Avery, Carl, Jason, Ray, Grace, June, Tina, Barb, Krista, Renee, David, Ethel, Elroy, Jane, Nancy, all of those recovering from natural disaster, and all of Zion's homebound members. Lord, in your mercy, Eternal Father, we praise you for your unfailing love and acclaim you as Lord of all life. In this life, grant that we might walk in faith, holding fast to the promises you have given us. In the power of your Holy Spirit, fill us with the confidence that through all troubles and amidst all temptation, on that last day, we might rise with all the redeemed, joining in the chorus of adoration at the victory feast of the Lamb which you have prepared. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Out of love for God, and in order to support the work of the church, the congregation is now placing its offering into the baskets being passed by the usherers. Pastor Johnson will then lead the congregation in the sacrament of Holy Communion, assisted by Pastor Jurdy and Vicar Pinzel. The congregation will sing two hymns during the distribution, Preserve Our Word, O Savior, number 653 in the Lutheran Service Book, and the Son of God Goes Forth to War, number 183 in the Lutheran Book of Worship. The broadcast of today's service is sponsored in loving memory of August H. Wendorf by his wife, Dolores, their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. August passed away 4 years ago on November 13th. Thank you.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, we do not come to your table trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. Grant us so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and so to drink his blood, that we may ever dwell in him and he in us. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after the supper, he took the cup, and giving thanks, gave it to his disciples to drink, and said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. Do this as often as you remember me." Amen.
Amen.
And Lord, remember us in your kingdom as you taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Thank you.
Tonawanda, Wisconsin. Worship services at Zion Lutheran Church are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. and Saturday evenings at 5:15 p.m. Sunday school for children is held on Sundays at 9:15 a.m. in the church hall. Bible study is held each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in the church hall. Midweek services are held Wednesdays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. We invite you to Zion's 28th annual cookie sale on Saturday, December 1st from 9 a.m. till 12 noon in the church hall. Zion has been broadcasting for 81 years, and the Wausau Lutheran Hour continues to bring you the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome your letters and your comments. Our address is Zion Lutheran Church, 700 9 6th Street, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54403. You can get more information at Zion's website, www.zionlutheranwausau.com. May our Savior, Jesus Christ, be with you and grant you a joyful and blessed week.
Thank you. body and blood of all the stripes and things you've made in each week's life and everlasting peace.
Blood of Christ,
we give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love towards one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.